Welcome back to The World According to Mike Graham. Coming up is my big apology, and you might be surprised what it is. First, though, it's Prime Minister for a Week. Let's meet this week's panellists for Prime Minister for a Week, and I'm delighted to say I've got two newbies for the first time on The World According to Mike Graham. I've got Honey G, rapper and X Factor star, it says here, and Stephen Barrett, famous barrister, a man sought after near and far by all manner of different people. But before we start with their ideas as Prime Minister of the Week, let's just have a look at Honey G's work. Rather good, isn't it? Quite like that. Welcome, anyway, both of you. Thank you very much indeed. Honey, you're going to start. What's your first thing that you would do if you were Prime Minister for the Week?
The first thing I would do is ban selling vapes to under-21s.
Yes. I thought they were banned from selling them to under-21s. But, of course, children are vaping, aren't they?
Yeah, well, children are getting addicted to vaping, and it's creating a generation of new addicts. We don't know who's recycling them, which companies, which agencies. No. They're bad for the environment because plastic, obviously, disposable issue. You know, more and more people are taking up vaping.
Well, you see kids doing it all the time. I mean, the trouble is, though, if you do ban it completely for everyone, people will find ways of smoking. I mean, you know, you've got teenagers smoking dope and smoking weed. So, I mean, they haven't managed to stop them doing that either, have they?
I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. It is extremely detrimental to your mental health.
Yes.
I really don't agree with legalising it anywhere.
No, I don't think they should. But you're right. I mean, I think they should be much harder on the old vaping scenario and make sure that kids can't get hold of it. Stephen, what's your first one?
So, first of all, I mean, this is a massive treat for me because in public I don't say political things. Yeah. Clearly this is going to be political.
Yes, absolutely right.
So I had to rack my brain. I thought, well, you've got this small window of opportunity. What do you actually care about?
Yes.
And so my number one law that I would bring in is everything to support having more babies.
Yes.
Because babies are the best thing in the world.
Yes.
And I've got a lot of hats in life. I've all sorts of jobs and title and all the rest of it. And the only thing I'm truly proud of is being a dad.
Yes.
And I'd like
And you tweet about your son quite a lot, don't you?
I do. And I would like...
How is he, by the way? Is he better?
We got through chickenpox, which was a nightmare.
Good.
But everything I would like in the world is about having more babies. I mean, if you've seen The Children of Men, that's a world full of despair where no babies are born. So let's have some law to back up babies, better maternal and paternity care, better child benefits, and also let's have this sense. I'd like to that young people are told success in life is not necessarily being on the telly, as we are, not necessarily being a sportsman, not necessarily being a barrister. Actually having a child and raising a child is the greatest success a human can have. And I just adore babies. Yeah. And what I've done is I've raised my child to point out the cute babies and toddlers. And we both just enjoy...
And we're told, aren't we, that the birth rate is down.
It is.
And therefore, we need to have more babies born. However, the population is up because we're importing more people. And sometimes it seems to me as well that sometimes the wrong people are having more babies. I mean, both my parents came from families of like 7 or 8 brothers and sisters, right? I came from a family of 2. You know, I only have 1 sister. I've got 4 kids, but not everybody has kids at all. And, you know, the trouble is an awful lot of people that seem to have an awful lot of kids sometimes are not the right people to raise them.
Well, that's why we can
have... And that's a bit controversial.
Well, we can have a legal system and a legal framework that supported people having more babies. Because what does happen is that the very good people, the very good parents, you know, might limit themselves and might say, oh, well, only have one, only have 2. Let's have a legal system that encourages them to say, go on, let's have 3.
As long as it doesn't cost me any more money as a taxpayer. I mean, if you're going to start getting all socialist
might have another problem. Well, this is... Because I'm very happy to sell... you know, my job is to persuade. So, of course, there will be a sceptical audience. There'll be people who say children just cause lots of noise and bother.
Yeah. But children... People want children-free planes.
Children grow up to pay pensions.
Yeah.
And that's a very useful function that, children have.
They do. But not all do, though. That's the problem.
Well, that's maybe... And as I get older, and police officers just keep getting younger.
Yes.
You know, we're going to need more young people to be police officers, which is another important function.
Yeah.
There are uses for these babies. It's not
Well, listen,
pure...
the whole reason for this segment is that, you know, Liz Truss was Prime Minister for about a month and didn't do very much at all of anything apart from, you know, upset everybody. So, Honey, what's your second one?
The second one is, I hope I get this one right.
Yes. I don't want to put you off. So
put me on the spot, aren't you?
I don't mean to put you on the spot. Sorry.
The next one is put an extra VAT tax on goods ordered online.
Okay. I like that.
So the reason is that the high street is basically dying because everyone's ordering stuff online.
Yeah.
And the people, they don't have the same overheads that a physical shop does. Mm. Putting an extra VAT tax on goods ordered online could help to regenerate dried up areas, build back communities and overall actually make high streets safer.
Yeah. The other thing that people don't realise when they order online is the amount of traffic that they produce because you've got all these vans driving around and traffic in Britain now is horrendous, right? Yeah. I drive a lot and you literally cannot avoid traffic jams no matter where you are. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's an awful lot to do with all of these Amazon vans and other various delivery companies delivering stuff to everyone. So you're not really saving the planet by not going out because they're coming to you. So it's the same exchange, isn't it?
And some of those vehicles, not all of them, I know they've got some electric vehicles, but I think some of those vehicles are not electric, so then that's bad for the environment as well.
And just moving all this stuff around. Have you seen those giant warehouses they've got by the side of motorways as well, which are as big as some
ones,
towns?
Yeah, I've seen them.
Unbelievable. It really is. I mean, I think the fact is that the world has changed to such a degree, and we sort of, while we haven't really been paying attention, and I think it needs to be reconstructed in some way. But that's not for me to say, because I'm not going to be Prime Minister for a week. Stephen, you are. So what's your second one?
So my second one is that when I leave this place, I will go to another place.
Ah.
And that place is a karaoke place.
Is it indeed?
It is.
It's not in Chinatown, right?
It's not in Chinatown, because this is my point. And karaoke in London has been ruined. I want to ban what I call karaoke shame cubicles.
Yes.
Because this
that's
is what happened.
That's not karaoke, is it?
No, and your viewers who are outside London, I expect, will never have seen these karaoke shame cubicles. We had a noble tradition for a very long time of an upright piano in the pub.
Yes.
And everybody playing it on a Friday night and singing along and communal singing.
Yes, lovely.
And if you go to a karaoke bar outside London, which I do, I mean, I'll go to any karaoke bar. And so you get an audience, everybody joins in. Yeah. Sweet Caroline requires everybody
Absolutely.
To sing. That's what happens. And instead in London, you have these atomised shame cubicles. And that's what I call them. They're embarrassed to
sing. Yes, and you have to book it as well.
Yeah, you have to book it.
So there's no spontaneity about it.
No, and I just think the idea that singing is shameful is fundamentally wrong.
Well, the reason I asked you whether you were going to Chinatown is because in Chinatown, there's a couple of restaurants which have karaoke rooms upstairs, but it's a public room. And the reason it's exactly what you're looking for, so you should go and check it out. I can't remember the name of the place, but I don't know, honey, if you've done much karaoke in your career as a singer, as a rapper. But I mean,
funnily enough, the last gig that I did, we had a lock-in in the bar afterwards, and we all had a big karaoke.
Oh, excellent!
Fun. But I think those cubicles take away the creativity.
Yeah.
You know, it takes away an artistry, creativity.
Well, the reason I like the Chinese actually love karaoke, so there's an awful lot of people that you have to wait in line behind to get your turn. But the most wonderful thing about the Chinatown karaoke places is that they've got a songbook, which is in Chinese and in English. But the English version is not always quite correct. So, for example, they have songs like I Left My Herd in San Francisco, which is brilliant.
Well, in many ways, it would be a better song. I mean, cattle ranchers everywhere would love that.
Yeah, but, absolutely right.
Improvisation.
I know. I love a bit of karaoke. Maybe we should go do it one night. Honey, your final offering?
So my final one is invest heavily on the future of flying transport.
Yes.
So roads are really overpopulated, and we were talking about traffic a moment ago, and all the LTNs and the ULEZ aren't working because they're just a money-making scheme.
Well, exactly. They're nothing to do with cleaning the air, are they? It's just about you paying to pollute it.
Exactly. So electric flying bikes, flying cars, buses would ease congestion.
Flying buses.
And give a special infrastructure for people to travel more easily, I think.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to be developing some of these sort of flying taxis in Dubai and places, aren't they? Which are effectively like a drone that you can sit in.
I watched Back to the Future 2.
Yes.
I was promised a hoverboard. Where is my hoverboard?
Yeah.
I know. Where is my hoverboard? I would love a hoverboard.
I'm older than both of you, I'm afraid. And when I was watching Tomorrow's World in like the 1970s, they were telling me that by the next century, we'd all have jetpacks to fly around in, like James Bond. Remember the James Bond one? Where you could just literally... In fact, we had a guy on my radio show once who had invented a jetpack, but it cost something like £21,000. But he came here from Surrey on it, and flew through the air.
Wow.
So, but wow. I mean, it's very expensive. But anyway.
Is that a joke?
No.
Someone literally flew from Surrey.
Absolutely.
And that's a noble British tradition of an inventor.
Crazy invention.
Yes, I mean, that's what we do.
Absolutely.
He really made an entrance.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to him. I must look him up, actually, because, you know, maybe he died or something.
Who can say?
On his way home.
Yeah. Yeah, he went home in a taxi. Stephen, your final one.
My final one is...
This is quite sort of noble, this one, isn't it?
Well, it's to end the idea that I'm in any way fun. Because it returns to the principle that I do care about the law and that the law is my obsession in life. Law has gone wrong, okay? Law has got fat with words.
Yes.
So if you take the Rwanda judgment, 380 pages or something, that's mad.
Yes.
Judges should not be publishing books.
No.
That is insane.
It's like the tax code, isn't it?
Yes, it's like the tax code, but if you look at statute, all of it is fat and flabby, and the BBC is broken because the 2003 Communications Act is too long, nobody knows what it means, and then Ofcom comes on top and produces all of these guidance, which is just too many words.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is to make a law to reduce the amount of words in law.
Yeah.
It will put some lawyers out of business.
Good.
Because
there's too many of them.
Well, whatever anybody thinks about law is a personal political opinion, so I don't have to say. But I want the laws to be clear.
Yeah.
Because clear laws, known in advance, is the basis of a civilised society.
Yeah.
And we have to recognise now, and if you made me Prime Minister for a week, I'd have to turn around and go, my society is not in a good way. And it isn't. I'm very sorry. And one of the causes of that is fat and flabby law.
Yes.
And 20 years ago, when I was a Chancery barrister, a pupil, I'm still a Chancery barrister, but when I was a baby learning the ropes, and I'd never thought I'd look like this or be on television, we used to compete to write as few words as possible.
Yeah.
That used to be what you were told.
That's called journalism.
That was the discipline. And it is in journalism, yeah.
People always said, you know, tabloid journalists, all thick as whatever, you know, but actually, to be a tabloid journalist, to write a story in one paragraph and get everything in it is actually quite a skill. And they did an experiment once. They took the sub-editors from the Times to the Sun and to see if they could do the job. They couldn't do it.
Well,
the Sun editors could do the job at the Times.
Well, that's an interesting point, because a law academic at my Oxford college insisted on having the Sun delivered, the Sun newspaper, to the senior common room.
Yeah.
Because of that controlled use of language.
Yes.
And we were made... And the idea that you just write reams and reams and reams and things get clearer.
Yeah.
They don't get clearer. They get much more confused.
Yes, of course.
And law has grown very, very fat and flabby. And we could do with some Sun editors to come in.
Yes, I think it's a very good idea. Yeah. Absolutely great idea. Now, it's down to me now to make a judgment. You'll be familiar with these as a lawyer. ironically, I've been told by my producer he's taking too long to explain how much shorter the law should be. but that's just where we are these days. I think, honey, is going to be given a chance to be the Prime Minister for the week. Only because you're so, you seem to me to be so pure and so kind of without any angst or vice at all. You seem like such a nice person. I think you would be a very unusual Prime Minister just because you care. And I think you should appoint Stephen, as your Lord Chancellor so he can take care of the law as well. And that way we all win.
Well, I will take it. I will take it as a compliment then.
I mean, you can't do any worse than Liz Truss, after all. So that was Prime Minister for a week. Thank you to Stephen, and thank you to Honey as well.